Modern Love, the podcast, is supported by...
Produced by the iLab at WBUR Boston.
From the New York Times and WBUR Boston, this is Modern Love. Stories of love, loss, and redemption. I'm your host, Meghna Chakrabarty.
I cycled 2,000 miles to see him. I waited. He didn't show.
Poured salt in his drink to get his attention. Still in love today.
Smile, though your heart is breaking. Then Kia's new BMW. It helps.
This past year, the Modern Love column turned 13. And for the anniversary, readers sent in their love stories told in just 13 words. More than 9,000 people wrote in, and what they sent was hilarious and sweet and deeply personal. We asked the authors to record some of our favorites.
Preschool. I wrote him, "I love you." He told me, "I can't read."
Third grade. First boy tells me I love you. So I kicked him.
It took a year of marriage to love my husband more than cheese.
Always laugh, especially after learning your husband took ecstasy on your first date.
Well, we had to hear more about that one, so we asked Jamie Friedlander to tell us the whole story.
My husband and I got married this May, but we actually met about 8 years ago when we were students at NYU. And I was very outgoing and talkative and chatty, and he was very shy and quiet. And so finally, he got the courage to ask me out after we had bumped into each other a couple times. And we had a great first date, and he was really talkative. And it was kind of surprising because I knew he was kind of a shy, quieter person. And about 3 or 4 years into our relationship, we were walking down St. Mark's in New York, and I said to him, "Oh, yeah, you were so talkative and outgoing on our first date. It was so funny." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I was on ecstasy." And it turned out that he took it because he was really nervous for our first date. And because he was quiet, he thought taking it would just make him a little bit more outgoing and a little bit chattier. And clearly it worked because we're still together 8 years later. And it's a really fun story to tell people.
And somehow, taking ecstasy on a first date wasn't the craziest relationship story we received.
I told him I was in love. He said, "I have to pee."
On our first anniversary, I gave him my heart. He gave me chlamydia.
Remember when the palm reader told us we were forever? She's the worst.
Mom got home early, found him in the closet. Haven't seen him since.
I regret lending you that book more than I regret the terrible sex.
Why would you tell us you are divorcing before 8 hours of flying?
The worst place to be newly single is at your own wedding reception.
And there were stories of how technology has transformed dating.
AOL 1995. He had me at Gotta Run, taking my grandmother to lunch.
Our love would have been timeless, but dial-up was too slow in 1996.
Dating apps in my 40s? Yeah. Things are definitely going according to plan.
Experiment. 50 Tinder men in 1 year. Surprise. Found love with a number 49.
I still can't believe that we broke up over GChat. Modern love indeed.
But when humans failed, pets came through.
He said, "I love you." I whispered, "I love you," to his dog.
He was passionate, sexy, and a pastry chef. But I miss his cat.
More 13-word stories after the break. We've heard a lot of dating stories, but people also wrote about parental love.
My children unlocked a chamber in my heart, then spit up on it.
Nobody kisses the softest part of your head like your mother used to.
Infertility was our greatest gift. We could not have made this perfect child.
Even when your daughter screams, "You're not my real mom," I am here.
And there were more stories of distance and loss.
My prison bunk after lights out, wide awake with the memory of her.
We asked the author of that 13-word love story, Michael Fisher, to tell us more.
At some point while I was in prison, I started having panic attacks, sometimes at night. So I'd be lying on my bunk, feeling one coming on, and I would try to think of a good memory to focus on to kind of stave off the panic attack. And for some reason, I always landed on this memory I have of my high school girlfriend. We were getting ready to go out on a date one time when we were both, like, I don't know, 17. And I remember just sitting on her bed, watching her brush her hair in the mirror, and thinking, oh my God, look at you, you know? And I have no idea why that was the memory that came up for me, especially more than once, but it would always calm me down. If I thought of it fast enough, I wouldn't have the full-blown panic attack. You know, I would just lie there in the dark and think about her. We haven't even spoken since high school. I mean, she's married now, 2 kids, the whole thing. I'd be mortified if she knew that I'd done that, quite frankly. And she'd be mortified too, actually, to think that, you know, some ex-con loser like me was still thinking about her.
We heard about long, enduring relationships.
After 36 years, sleep does not come until cold toes touch my leg.
Met at 13, married at 23, now 78. Still in love with her.
Older sex, lubrication for her, Cialis for him, planning. But love is love.
Both widowed young, never going to try again. Married 31 years this month.
Widowhood. Rubbing the arms of his favorite chair, hoping some skin cells remain.
Catherine Cox lives in Texas. She told us more about her husband.
My husband Elwood died in 2006 of Lewy body dementia. As I told friends after his passing, however bad you think losing a spouse is going to be, it is nothing, nothing compared to the all-consuming reality of this loss. I found that what I missed most profoundly was not the big moments, but simple, quiet daily routines like sitting in 2 armchairs, holding hands while we watch TV. After my husband's death, I sometimes found myself rubbing the arms of his favorite chair in hopes that some skin cells still remained that could be absorbed into my own flesh so that in a small way we would be together again.
And so many stories were about small things, moments, gestures, and ways of caring.
As we argued in the rain, he held an umbrella over my head.
He still mispronounces beloved in my native tongue. I will never correct him.
His love notes, tenderly hidden among toiletries, sleeves, socks. My first trip alone.
Strictly avoids long walks on the beach. Lets me have all the covers.
I married us the night before our wedding. We slept in our rings.
I'm broken, I said. That's how they make stained glass windows, he said.
Once, we didn't have any blankets, so you wrapped me in Christmas lights.
I was sad. He sent me dinosaur erotica. I knew it was love.
Love is honestly garbage. Love yourself first. That is the only true love.
Love is someone to split the heating bill with during a Maine winter.
Love is late nights out at clubs and bleary mornings packing school lunches.
Love is letting me cuddle, even if it is 90 degrees at night.
If you're lucky enough to have someone making your life wonderful, tell them.
Modern Love is a production of The New York Times and WBUR, Boston's NPR station. It's produced, directed, and edited by Jessica Alpert, John Parati, Amory Sievertson, and Caitlin O'Keefe. Sound design by Matt Reed. The idea for the Modern Love podcast was conceived by Lisa Tobin. Iris Adler is our executive producer. Daniel Jones is the editor of Modern Love for The New York Times and advisor to the show. Music for the podcast, courtesy of APM. Thanks to Jessica Anderson at The New York Times and to everyone who submitted their story for this episode. For a full list of contributors, go to wbur.org/modernlove. And we wanted to leave you with one last thought.
Inspiring that in these trying times, there's so much love in 13 words.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. See you next week.